Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
It is, in fact, a beautiful day. Happy New Year. Happy 2021. And happy, I hope, refreshed and revitalized energy going into a new year, coming off of a year that's been difficult for so many. It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. And by asking your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio, we're presented by Progressive Insurance, and every guest of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin joins us on the Goodyear Hotline. Obviously, I am neither Keyshawn nor J. Will or Zubin, and neither is he. But we are going to get you through the next few hours. Mark Hertzlick, I'm Jason Fitz, and we're having a little fun this morning. A lot of football in general over the course of this weekend. We got a lot of NFL games that have incredible meaning, and we'll continue to break those down. But today is the college football playoff, which you can listen to on ESPN Radio and you can watch on ESPN. Coverage begins on ESPN Radio at 3 p.m. Eastern. And I'll do a shameless self-promotion here, Mark, if you'll allow me. You can watch in the ESPN app the digital countdown to the college football playoff with me, Trevor Scales, Gary Streisky, Christine Williams, and the usual digital crew. Will be there at 3 p.m. Eastern. You can check that out on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and in the ESPN app. So a lot of fun to be had today and a lot of college football talk to be had. We'll get to it in a second. First and foremost, any New Year's resolution? Like, are you a New Year's resolution guy?
I traditionally am, and I'm traditionally not very good at it. This year, New Year's resolution this year, getting back in my Bible study a little bit. That's gone by the wayside last year, but I have to get back to it.
That's good.
Be healthier is always a good one.
You always, like, people always say healthy, but Mark, like, let's be real. You look like you could still, like, suit up and play if you wanted. So, like, you know, what do you do when you already have abs and most people have a New Year's resolution to get abs? Like, I don't even know what to do with that. So, you know, I'm not a big resolution guy, honestly. I'm mostly just a determined person year round. So it's not really a thing. I think the key for everybody today is to realize that just because 2020 ended doesn't mean the issues of 2020 have ended, but it also doesn't mean that we can't come into the year with some positive mindset around how we can get through this together as people, as friends, as families, and as a world. So that's my, I guess that's my hope. I don't really have a resolution. I just hope that everybody understands we still need to be very conscious about how we're acting and what we're doing, and hopefully we can all get through it together. In the meantime,
my wife does that, which is kind of cool. She has a word. She has a word that she uses for the year, or something just to remind her what she's grounded in, right? So like last year, it was like resilience, and then, you know, I don't know what this year is for her, but why not unity, right? Yeah. Maybe let's talk about unity for this country. Why not have that be your word? That might be nice.
Look, you just sold me on it. I'm all in for it. obviously, today is a big day in college football, and there are two games going on. The Rose Bowl presented by Capital One. That's the one that's out of Arlington this year. Remember, they moved the location because of COVID. So number one, Alabama taking on number four, Notre Dame there. And then the All-State Sugar Bowl down in New Orleans, that's Clemson taking on Ohio State, number two versus number three. Now, we've broken down the games a little bit. We'll continue to do that. And I know that there's been argument ad nauseum about playoff expansion, but I think today's probably a pretty good day to look at it, because I asked Peter Burns earlier the question on Monday, are we going to be saying that A&M should be in? I didn't ask that because I necessarily think Texas A&M is going to would make a difference in this, but I'm afraid that we might get two games that end up a little lopsided and a reminder of how good the Bama and Clemson are, and then we're going to get a national championship that is the same that we've had every year. I don't have a problem with that, but if we're going to do that, then the process needs to be as amazing as possible. And I've always been a four teams in guy, Mark, but I think this year has really changed my mindset on that. Where, as a former player, where are you on college football playoff expansion?
Well, I think it's going to affect a small number of teams regardless, right? It'll still be the top teams that are getting in. However, I like the idea of expansion, because what it does is it makes the college football playoffs, the actual playoffs, more exciting. I mean, this year, ideally, I think this first round, people would love to have a back-to-back matchup of Alabama versus Clemson and then Ohio State versus Notre Dame. You just feel like those would be two better games if those were the matchups. But then the problem is you feel like you don't have the two best teams playing in the championship game. What expanding the playoffs would do is allow more of those really good matchups, because I think that just the way things go and the recruiting numbers, and just you're still going to get the best players going to the best schools, right? I mean, it's kind of like in Major League Baseball where you don't have, you know, franchises that just have way more money and they're able to get better players. It's the same type of thing. right now in college football where the best players are going to still go to Alabama and Clemson. So, you know, to me, if you expand the playoffs, not only do you allow a chance for a group of five team to get in, maybe even you just have the highest rated overall group of five get in just automatically. So there's always one. And then you get really the winner of each Power Five conference in there. And then, you know, a couple, a wild card or whatever you want to call them, teams get in there too. So, I mean, I think it could be awesome to expand. You get a lot more competitive games.
For me, this is a nostalgic day. And, you know, for anybody that doesn't know, I'm 43, right? So I think, Matthew, I'm 43.
You don't look it.
Thank you so much.
You look fantastic.
I appreciate that. I've gotten to that spot where people now add to your age. That you look great for your age. Like, that's where I am.
The question, sorry to digress. You're 43, and people say you're great. But do people, like, when you're 30, like, man, you look great for your age? Because I feel like, I think they did probably for you. I think they, you know,
people have always thought I was young. My dad got good genes. He gave me good genes. My dad's a young-looking guy. So, you know, for me, growing up as a kid, this day, New Year's Day, was significant. Because I didn't grow up, even though so much of my work now is in college football, I didn't grow up a college football fan in Vegas. Like, that. It's just, on the West Coast, it wasn't a big deal when I was a kid. But New Year's Day was still the day that you sat down and you watched every bowl game. Because you saw matchups you weren't going to see anywhere. And bowl games had tremendous relevance. Now, we've obviously seen one of the effects of the college football playoff is that, realistically, bowl games just have less punch. Many of them have less sort of power and emphasis behind them because the meaning isn't the same with them. So part of my mind turns around and says, what are we looking for? Because in certain sports, like the NFL's objective is not to crown the best team. The NFL's objective is to have an exciting product that gives everybody a chance at the Super Bowl. Look no further than when the Patriots were undefeated and most of America was rooting against them in the Super Bowl, right? Like, we're not looking to reward excellence in the NFL. The college football playoff system is meant to give us the four best teams, and ultimately the hope is the best champion. I think most of the time they get it right with the best champion particularly. It just doesn't have as much excitement because there are so few teams. So the two trickle-down effects from expansion that I think are important is, number one, you mentioned recruiting. I do think that over the years, it would broaden out the ability for some schools to get better recruits and spread some of that out. If you knew as a recruit that going to USC would still give you a shot at the Pac-12 championship, which gives you a shot at the playoffs, right? Like, there's all of these trickle-down effects. The other is that, like, I keep looking at the AAC and, like, the money that's been spent by Cincinnati and UCF and Memphis. Like, you're talking about, you're asking these schools to spend millions of dollars to build their programs. For what? Like, at this point, Cincinnati's going to go to their alumni and try and raise more money, I'm sure, to keep Luke Fickell happy. And if I'm alumni and I'm like, for what? Like, we go undefeated. We're not getting in the college football playoff. We don't even get that chance to have that big statement. They get a game against Georgia this weekend. But let's be real. If they beat Georgia, how many people are going to come out and say, well, you know, Georgia wasn't really trying? So, like, at some point, no college football playoff expansion means we're asking a lot of schools to pay a lot of money for college football that don't really have the same impact and emphasis to the end of their season, even without a championship.
Yeah, no, and you're right. And I think there's definitely that concern, but it's also to just the expectation. It isn't until, you know, recently where Cincinnati fans are like, look, now our expectation is to go to the college football playoffs. You know, before it was like, let's have a productive season, let's win the AAC. I think that as teams continue to grow and as teams continue to separate themselves from the rest of their conference, you're going to get more and more expectations of making those playoffs. And I think financially, too, for some of these group of five schools, I mean, expansion and the amount of dollars that will come into your conference if you are one of those teams in the college football playoffs, I mean, it's astronomical. And it can really help improve facilities, you know, pay for these coaches. So I think you're right. I mean, expansion would be fantastic, not only just because, yes, I think we'll still get the best team winning the championship, but you're going to have better games on the way to it. And I think that that's what's lacking in bowl season right now is picking matchups that will make good TV, good football, rather than being tied to conferences and trying to shoe in whoever falls next on the totem pole.
Don't forget the college football playoffs on ESPN and ESPN Radio. Coverage begins on ESPN Radio at 3 p.m. Eastern. All right. Jets fans, New York, I'm going to give you a message of hope, and I'm going to tell you why having the first overall pick and using it on a quarterback means nothing. We'll do that next. It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. He's Mark Herzlich. I'm Jason Fitz. We're in for the guys on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
1, 2.
Second down, Fields. It's intercepted.
1-1-6.
And the Tigers are not going to be dethroned tonight.
Looking back on it, it was really just heartbreak. Don't want to feel like that again.
We had a heck of a game with them last year and doubt it'll be anything different.
Spins and gets to the end zone.
Touchdown, Clemson.
Every game for us is a statement.
We deserve to be in the playoff.
Bumps it down. Buckeyes are flexing.
Yes.
That'll be a quick study for us. There's only six games. So.
What was your first reaction when you saw the matchup?
This could be one of the greatest stories in the history of college football.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. And by asking your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio, we're presented by Progressive Insurance. And all of the guests for Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Woo! You knew at some point I was going to forget how to read. Mark Herzlich, I'm Jason Fitz. It's a tradition for me, Mark. Like when I sit in this chair at some point in every show, I forget how to read. So it seems like a basic and important tenet to do this for a living. So
I'll forget how to talk at some point too. So we'll go back and forth. That's be nice.
Part of our charm. Like it's New Year's Day. Look, everybody's just sort of groggily waking up. One person that needs to have a big New Year's Day is Justin Fields. And I think we can talk all day long about what we expect from Clemson and Ohio State today. But Justin Fields isn't just about Clemson and Ohio State. Justin Fields today and the way he looks is also about the NFL draft. There's a lot of importance that comes with it today. And I think that's why, you know, you would say that there's pressure on him more so than anybody else, right?
Yeah, when you look at, you know, you try to say, okay, you know, who has the most to prove in any of these matchups? And usually we're talking teams, right? And, you know, Brian Kelly came out famously saying that, or notoriously, however you want to look at it, that, you know, Notre Dame doesn't feel like they have to prove anything. You know, they're Notre Dame. And maybe you're right, but I think Justin Fields, after the last performance in that Big Ten title game, you know, only throwing for under 150 yards, not really being effective, not consistent at all with his throws either. A lot of times, whether it's right or not, you look at your latest performance, and it has a huge effect on the way people view your play and what you're able to do. And so I think Justin Fields, you know, in order to stay up towards the top of the draft list, where, you know, he entered just this short six-game season as the number two quarterback behind Trevor Lawrence, now, you know, I don't know if he's there, right? But a huge performance, whether his team wins or loses, could go a long way to solidifying himself as a clear number two quarterback off the board in this upcoming draft.
That's the hardest part of the conversation. It's like, what does all of this mean for everybody after Trevor Lawrence? And I know everybody listening in New York is at some point heartbroken that they're not going to get Trevor Lawrence. To that, I would say it's not a big deal.
And I realize that that doesn't sound normal to anybody.
What? What do you mean it's not a big deal?
It's not a big deal. It's not, like, the numbers right now don't show that it's a big deal to have a quarterback that you selected first overall. In fact, I did a Google search. Follow me here.
Yes.
So, and I looked at several, but we're just going to pick one. And I don't want to get into the schematics of how accurate their rankings are. It's the general purpose of what I'm saying. So, like, for example, there's one website, Pro Football Network, that every week ranks the power rankings of quarterbacks so far this year. Again, doesn't really matter the minutia of it, but I'll go quickly through their list. Aaron Rodgers, 1. Patrick Mahomes, 2. Josh Allen, 3. Russell Wilson, 4. Deshaun Watson, 5. Notice the theme so far?
Yeah.
Tom Brady, 6. Ryan Tannehill, 7. Phillip Rivers, 8. Justin Herbert, 9. Kyler Murray, 10. You got to get all the way to number 10 to find. Now, I understand that Trevor Lawrence looks like he's going to be absolutely incredible, just like Joe Burrow, a person that I thought coming in deserved more credit, even if it was just 1 year. And
better
looks
than,
like he's
better
gonna,
than Burrow, I think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you think Kyler Murray's better than Burrow, or
no,
you
no,
think?
No, no, no.
Trevor Lawrence?
Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, substantially. Yeah, I agree with all of that. I do believe that Trevor Lawrence is a transcendent talent. What I'm saying, though, is I don't believe that you can only get a quarterback at number one overall that's transcendent. You just got to do your homework, and you got to get it right. I mean, you can go up and down the list right now. In fact, multiple ones that you've looked at, I can look at across the league. If you rank the top 15 quarterbacks in the NFL, there's about two that were first overall. Like, that's a statement to the fact that quarterbacks are there to be had. It's just teams miss more often than they're right at the quarterback position. So if you're a Jets fan, you're watching tonight's game to see what Justin Fields is capable of. But I don't believe that you're looking at it saying all is lost either way if you can't get Trevor Lawrence.
The other side of that argument, though, is that it could be the reason is just because there's it's so rare to have that good of a quarterback. I mean, I think that's the other part of it, too, is should you be more upset if you're the Jets fan saying, man, this is not only just a once in a year, like we have the number one pick, we get the, you know, a really good quarterback, the best quarterback in this draft. He could potentially be the best quarterback in the draft. I mean, I date back since Andrew Luck, maybe. I mean, you know, he's a guy that you talk about transcending player. I mean, he is exactly what you draw up. Like, if you're to build a Madden character or NCAA 2021, if that game was still out and you're building a character, it would be Trevor Lawrence. Like, that's the guy that you would build and that you would put your name on the back of his jersey so when he runs around on the field, you think that you're awesome. I mean, that's the type of guy. And Jets fans, you know, they're mad for a reason, right? Yes,
yeah,
there's other quarterbacks. Yeah, there are other quarterbacks. But that's the one you wanted.
Yeah,
right?
But still, it's still a trash roster, though. Like, that's the other part of it. Like, if you put Patrick Mahomes on the Jets, they win 4 games. I'm sorry. Like, they're not a good football team. So you've got to look at it at some point and say, we have two objectives. One, can we find the right quarterback? Two, can we build an entire roster around him? And everybody looks at Mahomes as a great example of the guy, right? And when you think about it, Mahomes went into a situation where he didn't have to start year one. He has a spectacular coach that was able to look at it and say, how can I get the right piece? How can I build something and then insert a transcendent talent in the middle of it? Everybody thinks that the answer is drafting Patrick Mahomes. No, the answer is drafting Patrick Mahomes, getting a full roster that's incredible, and having a coach that knows how to maximize it. Like, it's no one piece. So if you're a fan of a team, I understand that quarterback position particularly gives you hope. But if you're the Texans, you're looking around saying, hey, we got a quarterback that is almost at that level of Mahomes with Deshaun Watson. And what's it gotten us this year when the roster around it is absolute junk? That's the that's where the Jets are. If I'm the Jets, I'm looking at it and saying, hey, maybe the answer is to, you know, see, you hope Justin Fields turns out to be transcendent so somebody will pay a bounty for it. You can get even more picks and try and rebuild your entire team. I think we become too focused on one position at the quarterback as being the savior when, in fact, all the quarterback does is give you hope to reach mediocrity.
Yeah, but mediocrity is something that the Jets currently don't even have. I think you're right. I think you need a full team, and that you can't win a Super Bowl, you can't, you know, go far in the playoffs without a full team. However, you also can't win a Super Bowl without a franchise quarterback. I mean, it's been done before, but, you know, it just doesn't usually happen, and it doesn't give you the best chance. So, you know, to me, you establish that piece. You know, you try to protect him. You keep him healthy for as long as you can until you can rebuild those pieces. But
Do you? Yeah. And you say you can't win a Super Bowl. You obviously, I mean, you have Super Bowl experience, right?
Yeah.
So we'll go back to, like, I'll take a mid-level quarterback. I can't imagine. I'll just pick a name out of a hat of a mid-level or any random. Derek Carr. All right. Yeah. So can you put Derek Carr, my beloved Raiders, you put Derek Carr on the Kansas City Chiefs with that roster, you think he can win a Super Bowl?
No.
Really?
I don't think so. And I like Derek Carr, and I think he's a pretty good player. But I think the you can get a great team. Well, first of all, you know, this is Kansas City. They are a spectacular team. I think Patrick Mahomes makes them go. But you can get a great team and have a pretty good quarterback and win a Super Bowl. You can have a pretty good team and have a great quarterback and win a Super Bowl. And to me, the second one is the easier one to do. Right? You can get a great quarterback and keep him on your roster for 20 years, and then you have a pretty good team around him, and you have chances every single year to go win a Super Bowl. The idea that you can have a great football team, a great nucleus of starters for more than 3 years at a time, I mean, it just doesn't happen right now just because of the turnover. So you get the quarterback first, and then you build the rest of the team, and that's, you know, you don't want to get them hurt or anything, but that, to me, that is the key to, you know, turning any of these really bad franchises, traditionally bad franchises, around.
I am adult enough to admit when I've had a point that changes my mindset on it. Your point that it's easier to build an entire team, you know, it's easier to build one, to get one draft pick right than get, you know, essentially 22 starters. That's a valid point. Like, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. Like, you know, you got to hit a lot of home runs if you don't hit a home run with the quarterback position. That is a very, yeah, from a talent analysis acquisition process, that makes a lot of sense. Now, Todd McShay, ESPN draft expert, was on this very show, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, and he talked about where he has Justin Fields in his draft rankings.
It just turns out that we have another really good quarterback class. Trevor Lawrence is in a stratosphere of his own, and then you've got Zach Wilson, who's really moved up and has played really well this year after having some injuries last year with his thumb and shoulder, and I think he has a chance to be a really good pro as well. Justin Fields is going to be a good pro. Mac Jones has helped himself, the Alabama quarterback, Trey Lance, the North Dakota State quarterback, got that one strange game that they played this year and didn't play all that well, but he's supremely talented as well. So I think those are the five guys that have a legitimate chance to go in the first round.
Now, all of that for Todd, he's saying he's got Justin Fields in as his number three quarterback. And I think in my mindset, maybe the best situation for the Jets would be for there not to be a huge difference between Justin Fields by the time they're done on their draft board and, let's say, Kyle Trask or you know, Mac Jones. Like, maybe there's not a big difference between that. They can still acquire more picks if they need to. They can take the best player on the board. Like, there's a very simple concept. And I'll admit, like, for anybody that's already, I'm sure, outraged by my concepts, I'm the first to admit that once you've watched Jamarcus Russell, as I did as a fan, you realize nothing is a sure thing. So what I want from my favorite team every single year is to take the single best player that's transcendent on the board when they're there, not get cute, not overreach, and just take somebody that everybody's not scratching their head at. Like, it's a very simple concept, yeah, but it at the same time, it's not. So for me, I think what it comes down to for the Jets is, what's the difference between Fields and one of the other guys that may be available later in the draft?
Yeah, and that is that is to be proven, right? I think that you look at the film, he obviously, he can have games where he is just fantastic. And I think that becomes even more frustrating in the NFL when you have really good games and really bad games, right? Because a really bad game in the NFL, you throw two picks in a game, you don't win the game. You can get away with that in college football in certain times where, you know, your defense is getting a lot of turnovers. But, I mean, you can't count on defensively creating three turnovers a game. You just can't do it. And so I think that what Justin Fields brings is that dynamic, mobile, dual threat quarterback that has a really good arm, really good run, and he's very smart. He has all the intangibles that you can want out of a quarterback, but there is always the question of, like, is it going to turn out okay, right? And I think that there's one player in this draft, there's a few players over the past couple drafts that you point to and said, look, I know this guy's going to be good, right? Saquon Barkley, you just knew he was going to be good, right?
Chase
Trevor Lawrence is the same, right? That's, to me, That's how you look at it. Yeah, let's take the best available at the time of our draft position, unless there's some guy who's a unicorn. You find a unicorn, and you take the unicorn, regardless of maybe you have someone ranked a little bit higher than him at a different position.
Well, and you're right. The Trevor Lawrence feels like a sure thing, and that's the one thing you want when you're picking at the top of the draft. Gourmet Chef Kev says on Twitter to me, remember when my Bears went to the Super Bowl with Rex Grossman versus Peyton Manning? This is why you need a franchise quarterback to win the big game. I get it, but let's also acknowledge the fact that, you know, Nick Foles won a Super Bowl over Tom Brady. Like, there's no one method that gets it done. So it's going to be an interesting debate and a reason for Jets fans to continue to watch today's games to see what Justin Fields looks like. Because if he looks lights out and manages to turn around and beat Trevor Lawrence, things will get fired up. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Coming up, how one loss could be huge for the Packers. We'll talk about this at that after SportsCenter.
And this right is the coaches for both teams desperately trying to keep these teams apart.
Those are real punches being thrown. It's dangerous. I mean, these are strong men hitting each other as hard as they can with no helmets on. Good kick in the face. Kick in the face.
Chris Cotter and the incredible Mark Herzlich on the call on ESPN at SportsCenter. And we start with moments after Mississippi State's 28-26 win against Tulsa. It got heated. A massive brawl on the field. Players exchanging punches, kicks. Both Tulsa and its conference, the AAC, said it would review what happened and hand out discipline if warranted. If they don't decide that discipline is warranted, I would love to know what it takes for discipline to happen. Next up on SportsCenter, get a little NBA action here. John Wall playing in his first NBA game since 2018. 22 points, 9 assists. The Rockets get the win 122-119 over the Kings on Thursday night. And lastly on SportsCenter, a little NFL injury update. The Packers have lost David Bakhtiari to what is believed to be a season-ending torn ACL suffered in practice on Thursday, a source told ESPN. The Packers had added Bakhtiari to the injury report after Thursday's practice. Of course, he's their all-pro left tackle and was rewarded recently with a much-deserved mega deal, so it's a huge blow for the Packers. SportsCenter presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. That's your SportsCenter update. It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on your smart speakers. He's Mark Herzlich. Still incredible. Even though yesterday was incredible, you're incredible this morning. I'm Jason Fitz on our New Year's Day edition. We appreciate you guys hanging out with us, and we just gave you the big news out of the NFL, and it's injury news from a practice. That's the worst-case scenario for every individual that plays the game, to have an injury, but then to have it from practice is just such a gut-wrenching blow. They lose Bakhtiari. It's presumed that he's out for the season. So, obviously, for a Packers team that feels like they have a shot at the Super Bowl, this is a massive blow, Mark.
Yeah, no, it really is. And you know, we talk about the tackle position, and you almost don't, you want to not mention him, right? That's the type of guy, if he doesn't make the broadcast, he's doing his job, because that means he hasn't given up any pressure. And Bakhtiari is one of those guys that it's kind of the opposite. He's become a household name just because he's that good. He's that good at an offensive lineman that we know who he is. He looks like an absolute monster, too, with his long hair hanging out the back of his helmet, but Aaron Rodgers is not going to have that protection piece, and that makes a huge difference when you go against some of these elite pass rushers. And that's what you get in the playoffs, is you get guys that have studied your entire season. They know when you're going to pass it. They know your weaknesses, and these pass rushers are going to salivate over the fact that there's a starting blindside blocker for Aaron Rodgers, and it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to overcome for Green Bay.
So let's get to the important thing here with the hair, because I got to ask. I mean, when you've got that much hair coming out of your jersey, like, it seems like a liability to me. Like, somebody's going to grab onto it. Getting your hair pulled does not feel good in that sort of situation. Like, is there a moment where you just look at it and say, why add some level of pain to a game that's already painful?
Yeah, it's kind of like when you don't wear sleeves outside in January, and you're like, I'm going to be a tough guy, and I can deal with the cold. Well, that cold hurts regardless of how tough you are, and I think that these guys with the long hair hang out of the back of the helmet, I mean, if my hair could do that, maybe I'd do that too. I mean, I think it's a pretty fun look, and you
look
good.
Did you ever have long hair? I mean,
you look good, you play good. Oh, I had
the mohawk, but like
curly afro. I mean, really? When I grew my hair out like that long, I have some pictures from high school. It looked like it was in the 1960s. It just was like an afro all the way out there, like 3 inches extended. It's good looks.
That's cool long hair. Like, I had long hair for a while, and it was sort of wavy, and it just wasn't my favorite. And much like you, although when I had a mohawk, it was hot pink. I did a mohawk for a while, and I actually bleached it blonde so that when I was playing shows, I could make it match the color of my tie.
Yes,
right?
Of course.
Like pink and pink and blue and blue. I was fashion. Okay, so let's get into
it. Back. Bring it back.
Oh, like I'm not already an idiot. Come on now. By the way, beginning Tuesday, January 5th, Mike Greenberg begins his show Greeny immediately following this one. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on ESPN Radio. Greeny will take you inside the stories of the day as only he can. Have the newsmakers you'd expect and interact with you every single day from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin right into Greeny. That's weekday mornings on ESPN Radio. And that starts January 5th, 10 a.m. Eastern. You'll start hearing Greeny at that time. So in the meantime, this is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. He's Mark Hertzlick. I'm Jason Fitz. And there's an interesting conversation that comes off of the Bakhtiari injury. Let's say it inspires a conversation, because the NFL Players Association yesterday said that essentially, hey, the product has been good, and this is proof that we don't need to have an offseason program the way we've had in the past. Now, you were, to be clear for everybody, you were the treasurer for the NFLPA. So you have a lot of NFL Players Association familiarity. I would love to just ask you about this, but before we do there, I'm going to make a bold statement as someone that never played the game. How can we say the product has been good when defense was wretched the first half of the season? Like, there was this moment where football looked clunky for many teams for the first 6-7 weeks. Are we just going to forgive clunky football because no offseason program? Come on.
Come on. So I'll say this in response to that bold prediction. I think a lot of that clunky football was more so pandemic related rather than maybe lack of OTA related. That's coming from a player who wouldn't mind not having OTAs in the offseason, but you know, and that's completely I'm gonna admit that right off the bat. But you know, the first time we saw this happen was after the lockout in 2010, where you know there were no spring practice, there were no OTAs, there was none of that, and you know, we came back to the season right when training camp started, and that was my rookie year there. And yeah, we thought that the product was pretty good on the field. I mean, when you look back to that year, that was the year that the Giants, which I was on this team, went to the Super Bowl, beat the Patriots in Indianapolis, and you know, there was time. There was time to prepare. There was time to get ready. And I don't think there was a ton of lacking of tackling or anything. Now, this year has been sloppy, but people, I think, where maybe the bias is people just want to see offensive football. I think you're right. People understand bad football and bad tackling. You want good offense explosion, but you want good tackling and people to be able to make some plays. So all that being said, is getting back to what J.C. Treader, the president of NFLPA, talked about eliminating those. I think it's about health and safety. And you know, we talked about Bakhtiari and his injury, and just every single rep, every single practice, every single week that you are playing this sport, you know, there's opportunity to get injured. You know, not a ton of opportunity during that spring ball. Usually coaches are pretty good about it, but eliminating that would eliminate the number of just snaps, number of days in the weight room that these guys had. And I think it could really be beneficial towards the players. Obviously, the coaches do not want it at all, but they are not a part of any of the negotiation process anymore, as they used to be kind of a part of the NFLPA, but not anymore. And this has been a discussion that's been going on for a long time, and it's kind of interesting to see J.C. Treader come out with it now after this year that we have had, and we will see a playoffs and we'll see a Super Bowl.
But quickly, I got to say, right now in the CBA, there's a limit of 16 padded practices in camp, no more than 3 in a row, and once the season starts, there's a limit on how many padded practices can happen throughout the course of the year. You talk about tackling. If you are a fan watching a team that tackles poorly, if you're a fan that's watching a team that's fundamentally bad, how do they have a shot at getting fundamentally better? I realize that they've got new techniques and ways that they supposedly can practice, but we see miscommunication on defense all the time. We see bad angles all the time. We see bad tackling all the time. And we've just sort of accepted the fact that it's like Big 12 defense playing in the NFL on Sundays. I struggle to see right now, while health and safety is always going to be number one for teams, I'm concerned that overall, if you eliminate these things, what you're going to do is you're going to create more issues of bad communication, bad tackling, and bad fundamentals, because it never gets worked on. Plus, we always hear coaches say that what they're worried about is time that players are away doing whatever they may be doing and outside of the structure. You're only adding more of that as well. So it feels like if I'm a coach, I'm livid. If I'm a fan, I'm at least worried. If I'm a fan of a bad team that never seems to get those things right, I'm worried about it. We'll keep the conversation going. We got to move on. Don't forget the college football playoff today. ESPN, ESPN Radio coverage begins at 3 p.m. Eastern. And speaking of that, we'll go directly to one of the sites and we'll find out what the atmosphere is like around the college football semifinal. We'll do it after this word from Straight Talk. We got to get you some Straight Talk. Look, we all drop our phones. Me at an alarming rate. Like it is, it's unusual. And it happens. You fumble it, you crack it, you splash it. Well, Straight Talk Wireless now offers this new Platinum Unlimited plan that includes phone protection. Just $65 a month for unlimited talk, text, and data, plus 20 gigs of hotspot and 100 gigs of cloud storage and more, all on the best networks. You're using the same networks as everybody else. It's Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. See Mobile Protect terms and conditions at Asurion.com/Straight Talk. Limitations and exclusions apply. We'll get some Straight Talk directly from the site of the college football playoff semifinals next.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
The people who played 10 or 11 games had to survive the grind.
That's grit. Keep going. Keep fighting through it.
Let's go, man. Just focus on what you got to do to get better.
When you get to this point in the season, it's not about what you've done. It's about how you finish.
Touchdown, Alabama.
We're on a mission. And that's to win a national championship.
Right where we want to be, but at the same time, we have a long way to go.
You don't want to just get this far. You want to keep on going.
It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on your smart speakers. All you got to do is say, play ESPN Radio. Super simple. Obviously, this is not the voice of Keyshawn, J. Will, or Zubin. I'm Jason Fitz, hanging out with Mark Herzlick. You know what, Mark, like, did you change? Mark yep. changed. Like, during the break, he said, I'll be right back. And now, all of a sudden, T-shirt? Like, you're in your house. Like, was it too warm? Or?
It got warm. So, my office is in a section of the house that just not a lot of ventilation, not a lot of windows. So, the heat comes in and stays in. And before I started dripping from my forehead, I had to take my sweatshirt off.
Look, I appreciate that. And in full transparency, this is the beginning of a very long day. You can check out the countdown to the college football playoff digitally today at 3 p.m., by the way, on the ESPN app and all your social media platforms, which I'm hosting. So I had another layer on top of this. Like, I had a jacket on top of the hoodie, on top of the shirt, like, going with the layered look. I got in the studio, and I forgot how hot the studio is. But right. It's your house. Well, you should be, change
it. Yes, but you know we go certainly. You know, we have some short segments, there was some long segments. So during that 20-minute segment, I just didn't have time to get up and change the thermostat. But I since have, so you may see the sweatshirt back. Who knows? I mean, it's a multi-outfit morning for Mark Herzlick today.
This is the type of content you can only get from Mark Herzlick and Jason Fitz sitting in for Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. All right, Allison Williams, ESPN college football reporter, going to join us now on the Goodyear Hotline, brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Allison, thanks so much for the time this morning. You're covering the Rose Bowl, obviously presented by Capital One. An interesting time, though, for the Rose Bowl to be in Arlington. So what's the vibe around a bowl game that's named after, you know, we're used to it being in California, but it is not there at all?
Well, first of all, guys, I want you to know it's a multiple outfit day for me as well.
There you go.
With game day and then the game night. So I'm with you. Yeah, it's a different vibe. You know, I was curious kind of going into this what it would be like, if it would feel any tempered at all because of the just the grandeur and the prestige of the Rose Bowl. And I think a lot of that is the location and the beauty in which it's played there in Pasadena. But honestly, I didn't get that sense at all. I think they've done a really good job of still trying to create this similar experience for these players. They arrived and they got all of the roses and the banners and so forth within the stadium. The logo at the midfield will have that feel. Plus, the fact that it's 2020 and you're not going out there a week ahead of time anyway. I mean, Notre Dame got here 2 days ago. Alabama got here last night. I mean, they walked into the stadium for all of 4 minutes, maybe, literally took some pictures, took some videos, looked around and left. So you don't have that bowl game experience anyway. So I think the fact that it is here in Arlington and not in Pasadena isn't as big of a deal as it would be, I would say, in a normal year, but in a normal year, it wouldn't be here. So I do think the fact that they come in late, it's not a same bowl game experience wherever you are this year because of the circumstances have changed that. And then I also, you know, Notre Dame, it was important to them. Brian Kelly mentioned it before they even knew they were in the playoff. They wanted to play in front of their family. They haven't gone home since football started. So this is really the only time that players get to see their family. And it was really important to him that they be here to support his guys. So it's all come together well. I know the Rose Bowl committee is super appreciative of everybody with the Cotton Bowl to help pull this off and everybody with Cowboy Stadium and all that. So I think it's going to be a great experience and a great game.
And Allison, when you look at the game just in general and what it means to both these teams, Brian Kelly, you know, he had audio of him saying, look, we don't have anything to prove in this game. Do you buy that? Or do you think, look, it's something really important for Notre Dame to prove that not only do they belong in the top 10, but, you know, a top tier program that compete with these powerhouses in Alabama and Clemson?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's tried to ignore the narrative, but the fact that he's had to address it, you know that there's something to it. He knows his record in these bowl games, and it's not good. You know, they're 0-6 in their last BCS and New Year's Six bowls. So there's something to achieve. I don't know if there's, you know, if they see there's something to prove, but they definitely know there's a lot left for this program to achieve. And I think for me, the sense I get from like Brian Kelly is it'll almost be a validation of what he has done and the changes he has made since they played Alabama in the national championship in 2013. He really focused on retooling his program and rebuilding his program in a different, more physical way from the inside out. And it was because they were 12-0 that year, and then they went down and they got absolutely manhandled by Alabama, and they weren't physical enough. He's been building it since then. It obviously did not work, you know, in 2018 against Clemson, but he says they're even more physical than then. So he believes they can match up better physically within Alabama now than they could 3-4 years ago, and we'll get to see if that's indeed the case tonight.
We're talking to Allison Williams, ESPN college football reporter. She's covering the Rose Bowl. Alabama obviously beat Florida, but it was a game that looked like it was going to be an absolute demolition in the first half, and then things got really hairy in the second half. So is there any lingering effect in your mind? Did the way that game end impact anything that we'll see today?
It's hard to say if it impacted anything, but I think it gives hope for Notre Dame. I know sitting with Todd Blackledge over the last few days, there are things that he saw in that game that Notre Dame can potentially take advantage of against Alabama's defense, and they both utilize their tight ends very well. There's some similarities there for sure. Alabama's going to do what Alabama does. I mean, that's just the way they are. They're good enough to do that. It's like, yeah, that's what we're going to run, and good luck beating us because we're better than you. So I don't know how much it changes what Alabama does. I'm sure there's some things they'll shore up and try to adjust specifically when it comes to guarding their tight ends and stuff. But I think it was a sign that, yeah, you know what, maybe there are a few different ways we could attack this Alabama defense and have some success if you're Notre Dame.
Allison, as always, we appreciate your time early this morning getting on. Have a great game, and thanks so much for the insight.
Thanks, guys. Happy New Year.
Allison Williams, ESPN college football reporter, join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And, you know, she just mentioned some of the weapons, and it's a important point here, Mark. I mean, Kadarius Toney, 8 catches for 153. Kyle Pitts, 7 catches for 129. I mean, you've got a dynamic wide receiver, a dynamic tight end that are doing damage at least if you're a Notre Dame fan, you believe that you may also have a dynamic wide receiver and a dynamic tight end that can do damage.
Yeah, you do. And, you know, Ben Skoranek has been so big, transferred in from Northwestern, obviously. And, you know, I say he's been so big, and I mean his presence on the field, but also just his body. I mean, he's a 6'5", big wide receiver. You know, there's not a ton of speed on the outside, but there's a lot of size that in terms of players who are going to catch the football. So, you know, if Ian Book can put the ball in the right spot, a lot of these comebacks, spot routes, and use those tight ends, those big bodies, I mean, that's how they have to move the ball down the field.
Yeah, and it's such an interesting difference, and you make a great point about the size. I mean, you're talking about a different type of mismatch, and I'll say that in my mind, nobody creates the mismatch size and speed that Kyle Pitts creates, you know, at that position, the tight end position specifically. So I don't think it's necessarily apples to apples to think Florida had success so Notre Dame can, but at least there have been a few times this year we've seen the Alabama defense be a little susceptible. So if you're a Notre Dame fan or a Golic Jr. waking up this morning, that's part of your season of hope. Anyway, coming up next, how Notre Dame's blowout loss to Clemson shows how good Alabama actually is. I'll explain that to you next.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.